This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Skip on in here to the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and me, your friend, Danny Valdez. So pumped that you... Why are you looking at me?
I just wanted to ask you a question. I never thought about it for a long time, but when you said skip, that's just an odd word. Many people like have forgotten the word skip. You know, they don't usually say skip. You know, they're like, run on in here. You know, what about skip? Like, it's such a childhood thing. I wonder, like, do you feel the instinct to skip, Pearl?
Yes, I do. And good. I do skip.
Yeah. Do you? I do.
I just haven't heard it for
Danny,
a long time.
May I see you skip around this room, around this podium?
Yeah, a quick demonstration?
Yes,
yeah,
please.
I'll skip right now.
Okay. I want to see
I mean, no one's going to see.
I will judge your skipping
corn. Are we going to silently watch me skip while the podcast people wait?
No, people shall imagine it in their head.
And we shall describe it.
Okay.
Oh, it's a very feminine skip.
It's a little on the lean back, you know.
Maybe
back
a
foot.
Skip is feminine.
It's very like leaning into the skip. It wasn't pro forward. Like
I
you know,
was,
like I'm
I was
trying
expecting
to get
so much more, Dan,
you.
Because I've seen you leap like a
listen.
Gazelle.
We're indoors. I'm not going to go all out. Like you want to see a man skip?
Yes.
Loose me into the field.
Oh, okay.
It's just we're not in.
It
the field.
It was the wrong environment.
Yeah, a skip for me is a huge moment.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were just really holding
I casually,
back.
Lightweight skipped because we're in a tiny living room.
I was kind of give you a C- for that.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
Do you know what I feel from my heart?
What?
I feel a one-sided skip only. When I'm really excited, I go from a run into just right foot.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I feel.
Right foot feels so right, but then you have to do some left foot to even it up.
You just so your brain doesn't like explode. Right?
I skip. In fields often, and I swing my arms left to right.
In Spring Hill, do
that's
you,
what
sir?
I wanted to see, yeah, Dan. You're kind of disappointed, but could you just give me a little show?
But you see, there's no
that?
Private fields in Spring Hill. Like, it's all, like, urban. Like, so do you, like, go to the
oh, no.
park?
Yeah,
skip?
We have some special parks.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
Could I just really, I really want to have a glimpse of what the real Stan
no, you
skipping.
Can't. Oh, okay. Not without paying extra.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to take over this party for a little bit, if you don't mind.
Yeah, what goodies do you bring us?
Well, I wanted to bring you some goodies today and to just be a bit me-centered and update my health issue and where I'm at with that. And because I mentioned here a few weeks ago that I was going through something.
Can you tell that testimony?
Yeah, I'm going to.
I got goosebumps. Okay, great.
But it's not just going to be about me because what I think I'm went through, going through, is going to relate to many issues, just not the specific thing that I've been going through. And I know that a lot of what I'm going to talk about today, Serene and I have mentioned it before in various ways and various means. We've written books about it. Danny and Serene and I have discussed it to the nth. And you might think, oh, not this again. But it is this again.
Here we go again.
But I'm going to repackage it. But you need to hear it.
Hey, Mexican foods is... Oh, sorry.
What? Mexican
I'm just
food?
Trying to be what? Like, you know, these days you got to be careful no matter what you say.
You can still
say,
call it Mexican
it's
food.
It's the same thing in different packages. You got a burrito, you got the same stuff in there. Taco, same stuff in there. Enchilada, same stuff. It's just packaged a little different.
Did There's you think you weren't allowed to call it Mexican food?
No, I was just freaking out, you know.
That will the be the day when we get to like where somebody's like, you want to go out for Mexican and someone
like gives you the bad look.
No, but this is the deal, right? Who says no to Mexican food, though? Nobody, right?
Nobody.
You can eat it over and over and over again, but you just package it a little differently.
So, thank
you've had
you.
Tacos for a week, go for a burrito, you know?
Yeah, so this is my Mexican food party.
Not to be racist, but I had some Mexican food the other day. It's like, wait a minute, nobody thought you were racist.
So true. It's coming. You know that's coming.
I had a guy, he wasn't from Mexico, but he was like LA Mexican, you know the type?
Yeah.
It's a different vibe of a Mexican.
And they skip like you, Dan.
Well, this particular friend, he wanted all the cred of being like a special interest group, and yet he couldn't relate to Mexican issues at all. And he was rebuking people at a job site for saying like the word Mexican. And I was like, why is that a problem? Like, we're like, they're proud to be Mexican. Mm-hmm. Like, is calling me an American in some way like racist or something? No, I'm proud to be an American.
But you're an American Mexican because you were born in Mexico.
No, I was born in Memphis.
Oh, you were. But
yeah,
then you
close.
Went back to Mexico.
Close. It was the Mexican part of Memphis.
He was born.
Yes, you were born in Memphis. Come
like,
on.
Like a special like cot that was made for making drugs or something.
But you were
was born in Memphis.
Okay, but Memphis. But you were no, but people thinking that I'm wrong. You were had your childhood little years in Mexico.
Yeah, okay. we drove straight away to Mexico where I lived until I was three.
Yeah,
and I chronicle it in my latest book.
That's where I knew that.
What if you could?
What if
you,
and he will personally autograph it. Anyone send it out? Yeah.
So, what I'm going to talk about is really how and how we think thoughts and we speak words and we think they're authentic and that and they're truly us and they feel natural and they we think because we're thinking them and because they come naturally that they're right and they're not necessarily right at all. They may be very, very wrong. And so today I want to talk once again about putting the right thoughts and words in us and reprogramming our minds for our benefit. Because I've been through something where it just hit home again that, oh my goodness, all the stuff that you and Serene and Danny were just scratching the surface on, Pearl, keep scratching. Mm-hmm. You're on the right track. Keep scratching. And what the ancient wisdom of the Bible has always taught us, now science is totally just catching up. Just getting there. Not even nearly close enough, but just getting there. And I have been living this in real time, and I'm going to talk about that. So a few weeks ago, I said, it was that party that was called You've Never Been This Strong. And Serene brought this party, You've Never Been This Strong. And it was just, it was really encouraging podcast to me. And I think for you guys too, for any of us that have been going through something where you actually have to use your muscles, whether they be your spiritual muscles, your mental muscles, or your physical muscles, or just fortitude because you're coming up against something and it's life's just not currently easy. So how do we grow, right? How do we grow muscles? Under pressure. So when pressure comes, that's when strength arises if we allow it. And so what was interesting, I had just sat here and Serene had talked about, you know, the strength that comes from when you look so weak, it looks like you're your weakest, but that's when you're strongest. And I had shared with all you guys that I had been going through something, really super, super dizzy spells, started with fullness in my ear for about a year. And then I was having these attacks where I couldn't stand. I would have to lay on my bed and there'd be major throwing up and it would just, I couldn't even move a muscle. I didn't even know where my legs were. It was that bad. The dizziness, it was like being in a tornado or like a crocodile underwater just taking you around and round and round, 1,000 miles an hour. Where wow. Like I would be on my bed and I didn't know where my hand was, my foot was. It was just a total loss of where I was in this world. Like I lost my body. it's so weird. But anyway, these are all symptoms of Meniere's disease. I'm not claiming that over my life. And I've got a lot of hope. But I was just telling you that I had been through one of those the day before Serene had talked about this. And I felt my weakest. I felt ashamed for even having this. Like, you know, I'm a healthy person. I'm doing everything right. Why should I be having this? And
can I just say something real quick? You know, oftentimes Meniere's can come, you know, from an event in life that can change your structure of your body. Like a good friend of ours did a certain jump, you know, in the military.
Yeah.
And it kind of, he got Meniere's from it. And Pearl has had scoliosis since a child. Not terribly.
Well,
it's just enough mm-hmm. that one side of the body is just minusculely higher than the other. And they say those that have scoliosis can go to Meniere's.
I've got a lot of hope because I'm going to an upper cervical and I'm going to talk about that later. Mm-hmm. There are many reasons.
I'm just saying Stevia didn't give her Meniere's. No, no, no. I'm just like clearing the deck.
No, I'm not saying. No, it's actually from when your ears, the nerves stop lining up centered and they give mismatch signals to your brain. And that often happens through when spine misalignment.
Oh.
And so I knew I had spine misalignment because I'd been diagnosed with it by a chiropractor and my hips are significantly different. Like, you know, when my legs, I had to wear what do they call them? The little lifts on your shoe just so that your legs line up.
I've had dreams about that.
Have you?
Yeah, to where like one foot's longer than the other.
Oh, like dramatically?
dramatically typically. And I'm like, man, why? And then I wake up and I'm like, boy, that
is your beautiful feet, Daniel.
Hey, is that like something that could be chiropractored out of you?
Well, only certain chiropractors. I'm just in this journey and I'm going to keep sharing my journey with you because I've got so much hope. If anyone is listening with these things, I'm going to bring everything I find out because I'm a researcher. I'm determined not to let this like be my life.
I've got a guy for you.
Yeah, you do, because I'm seeing one on Friday who's upper. You have to go to an upper cervical one. They deal with the atlas bone in the bottom of your neck.
Yeah.
Normal chiropractic doesn't work.
I'll check. He's special. Okay. He does x-rays and has it's called the Gonstead method.
Okay, I've never heard of it, but I'll look into it.
Yeah.
But this person in Franklin, Tennessee has had so much success with Meniere's. Because he aligns those nerves so that they straighten up. So I'm excited about that and about many things. But mostly I'm excited about what I'm going to tell you about today.
Her little grandchild, he can't speak probably, so he calls it sighted. I sighted Prissy.
That's my grandmother name, Prissy. So right after that day that I shared here with what I'd been going through, and I was just so encouraged by Serene, because even though I felt so weak, I'm like, no, I'm strong. And I'm never going to be stronger. And this is going to make me stronger. And it was just so encouraging, Serene. So I want to thank you for that, because that started me onto my positive pursuit of just healing through this whole thing. So the next day, my husband and I went away to a weekend where just a couple of hours away, where he was going to be playing some golf in a tournament. And so I just thought, well, I'll go with him, you know, and I'll just spend time writing my book and getting things done. But so he was at golf and I was just taking a walk, and I looked at my phone and there was just a podcast that popped up, and it was called The Happiness Course. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. So I listened to it, and this podcast was interviewing this woman who was a professor at Yale University. And she was talking about how she was a professor there, and she started this course on happiness and how to get it. And her classroom was so full she couldn't fit it in, so she had to do one of the main halls at Yale. And what she found out was, she did this survey, she found out that more than half of these students at Yale were suffering with depression and anxiety so badly that it actually affected their life in ways that some days they felt like they couldn't leave the house. Over half.
Wow.
In fact, it was that bad that one out of every 10 had already developed a plan for suicide. The depression and the anxiety was so bad, and it afflicted more than half of these students.
Wow.
And so her course for happiness, they weren't happy. I mean, when she, you know, did the survey, they were not happy, these students. And they were at one of the best universities in the world. They were going to be the top people in all their fields.
And an age
know?
Bracket too. Yes. That the world's at your feet.
You go to Yale, you have all these opportunities open up for you. And yet they were sad. They were miserable. They were full of anxiety. They were having panic attacks. And so her course got absolutely so popular, she couldn't even fit people in. But what she discovered, and she's, you know, a professor of psychology and everything, and this is what she said, and I just found it so interesting, because this is Yale. This is science. This is not Serene and Pearl and Danny quote in the Bible, you know. This is some woman.
Science always backs up the Bible.
Exactly, but I just found it kind of interesting. What was that she said? She said this very thing. She called them inclinations or intuitions. She said, I tell my students, your inclinations and your intuitions to how to think about something comes up in your life, it's probably wrong. Many times it's wrong. And you think it's right because you think it's authentic, and you think because I'm feeling this or thinking this, it must be right. I'm here to tell you, you're in this state because you've been thinking and feeling that way. And you've got to change it. And here's how to change it. You replace it with these thoughts and these things to do. And then she goes through this whole course on very practical. It's very behavior modificational, of course, because, you know, that's the way you start. But in the end, it saturates into their heart and they become happier people. Mm-hmm. They do a survey at the end of the course and these people are happier. They don't have plans for suicide at the end. You know, they on the scores, they're doing a lot better just because of the way they're training their brain.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about fear and anxiety and these things. And she's like, you know, people tell you it's okay to fear And that's what everyone says, right? Oh, it's okay to fear. And she was talking about the inclination to fear is not good for you. Mm-hmm. And what does the Bible say? You know,
do not fear.
Yeah. And everyone's like, it's okay to fear. But of course you can say, hey, this is a fearful situation. You don't like have to suppress, bury your head in the sand. But there are other thoughts that can overtake with neural pathways. And those are the better for you thoughts. Those are the put off, you know, the fear or put off the anxiety and put on the peace thoughts that we've talked about so much that's in our I'm That Girl book. And but, you know, I knew all this. And yet, you know, here I was, I had to go through this something, this very, very kind of hard something where I had to put it into practice. But I didn't know this was coming. So, you know, I left and I went to this weekend away and I had this fullness in my ear. But this thing was the last event that I had, this Meniere's event. It was something that I've been through 5 childbirths. But
all
what
natural.
All natural. No epidural. So I'm not like a baby.
Oh, you've never had an epidural?
Pain. No, I never had an epidural. I'm not saying that to boast or something. I just did that. That's what I wanted to do.
Well, she used to scream, please, why can't I be a normal person and have an epidural? And Charlie said, well, you can have an epidural, Pearl. She's like, no, I can't. I decided not to, so I can't.
This would be during the birth?
Oh, yeah. She'd be saying, why can't I let myself? And Charlie would be like, well, you can let yourself. She's like, no, I can't.
He would have wished that I could. Because then I would have stopped yelling.
Woman.
But so I'm no stranger to going through hard things. I felt like in my life I've been through some hard things. But this event, that last one that I had right before that party was the worst thing I've ever gone through in my life. I can't think of
more
anything
than birth?
Worse. Way more than birth. It wasn't the pain. It was the feeling.
The alligator.
Can you imagine going
swirl.
Swirling by an alligator,
but it wasn't
like
just swirling
straight where you can't, you don't
That's
even know
like
where
torture.
Your feet and hands
Pearl said
are.
It wasn't just swirling in the normal plane, it was swirling deep and under because gravity was like pushing her down and down and down and down. So she felt that suffocating underwater feeling.
And then I was just like throwing up the entire just dry heaving the entire time. I was screaming.
And
I was
she
literally
threw up
screaming.
Through all her babies.
I said
too,
to Charlie, I didn't want to live at that point. I couldn't live a second longer. I couldn't live like this. And you know, it was sadly many Meniere's disease patients, they commit suicide. It's really horrible.
Because they,
it's that bad. It's
because this happens over and over.
Well, because they can't drive anymore. They can't, like
their
independence taken away. Because what if an attack happens while they're
you know, and after these
the
attacks,
or
you feel giddy for days. You just can't do it. You can't drive. I couldn't drive. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
So I just, at the back of my head was like, I'm not going to fear this thing, right? But I didn't want it to come back. So here's what Meniere's patients do, and they have to. And I understand this. And I was going to do this. It's that bad. What they do is they have these rescue meds where as soon as you feel the attack coming on, you take very low dose Valium. Valium really calms the body completely, and it works on the vestibular system so that the spinning, really fast spinning, and all that goes with it, you get heat up throughout your entire body on and off.
You said heat?
Yeah, and your,
I'm doing
your
research
heart,
while you
rate,
talk.
Heart rate increases. And so that all stops, and your attack is completely much lessened, and you just lie there and you get through it. So that's the way these Meniere's patients get through it. They have these rescue meds. They take an anti-nausea med that's it's called ODT. It's completely disintegrates in their mouth because, you know, you can't wait for water and you're throwing up. And so it goes into the mouth, disintegrates, so the nausea goes away, their body gets relaxed, and then they sleep it off. And, you know, and that's how they deal with it for years and years and years. They deal with it like that. Well, I was saying to Charlie, I want these rescue meds. You know, I've never had Valium in my life. I barely take anything. But I'm like, I don't care. I will never, I said to him, I will never go through this again in my life. I will not. You can't let me. So, you know, I was like trying to get a doctor's appointment so I could get my own rescue meds. But I wasn't able to get in and we were going to go away. And so I didn't have any rescue meds. And my ear was getting fuller and fuller. I thought, oh, no, please.
Does anyone have any rescue meds for like peeing? I have to pee so badly. And I wish I could take something so I could just let that feeling go so I could keep talking. But can I go?
No, there's only one trick.
But I'm going to continue because you know
one
the story.
One old trick.
So anyway, so that night I went to bed. I was feeling a little giddy.
I'm
but
still listening,
everything
Pearl.
Was fine. And I really, I told you I'd be talking about me, me, me. So here I am.
Very unique for a woman.
But I woke up in the middle of the night. It was like 2:30, went to the bathroom. And on my way back from the bathroom to the bed, the world just started spinning. It just, I mean, I barely made it back to that bed before falling over. And I was like, oh no, God, please, please, no, no. And I didn't have any rescue meds. And I just thought, oh no, I'm just going to start throwing it. Because there's no way you can run to the bathroom. You can't move when this thing attacks you. You can't.
How often does this happen?
Well, it's very different for various people. But at that point, it was happening to me like, it had sped up. It used to be like I had my first attack and then months later, another attack and then a couple months later. And now it was happening like every week.
Once a
week?
And this
was just two days after the last one. I'm like, no.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm just going to throw up over Charlie. I don't even know what to do, you know. And I started feeling it coming on. And then I heard Serene's voice. And it was like, you have never been this strong. And I thought, you know, I don't have Valium, but I have God's peace. And I decided that I would not allow the fear to overtake my body, even though this was happening in real life. I thought, okay, God, you've got me some Valium, your peace, you promised it to me, the peace that passes all understanding. I don't understand what is happening, but I'm going to take on your peace and I'm going to do it. And I refuse to let my body be taken by this thing. So what happened was I just envisioned that God's peace was my Valium. You know, it sounds crazy, but that is what I did. And I lay there, I didn't move, you know. And it's the most intense thing I have ever done because I could not let up for 1 second. My heart started beating like 100 miles an hour and the heat and these sensations started going up and down my body. And I just said, no, peace. Peace pervades my entire body. And all the scripture that I've ever learned about peace just came into my mind. I wasn't speaking aloud. I was just doing this in my head. Charlie thought I was asleep because I was that still. And I said, heart, be still. You know, and I said, body, you have the peace of Christ all over you. And for 2 hours, I didn't let up because it kept trying. I could feel these waves attack me. And I just embraced. It was like a shield of peace around me that I just allowed to inhabit my body. Yeah. It was God's peace. It was like a miracle.
And you said, though, even though you're saying these beautiful words, embrace and allow,
yeah,
it was a fight.
Oh,
you said it was like
fight
hanging
in my life.
Off the cliff. And, you know, all you want to do is let go. All you want to do is let go because your muscles have lost all strength. Like you're at muscle failure. But you know you have to keep on. You just
My inclination was to go with it, to fear. You see, that it felt so natural to allow it to take me. That was what my body wanted to go with it almost, to be spun around. My body wanted to allow the heart to rise. My body wanted to allow these sensations to go up and down it. But I knew that wasn't best for me. I knew the natural instinct to almost go with it wasn't the best for me. There was something better. There was something better. And all I knew to do was just let it overtake me. There's something better and just keep it there. Just keep it there. And I can't really explain about what it was, but I knew that it was the something better and I just wouldn't let it go. And every ounce of me, like my face would tense up with this thing. I could feel my whole body tensing up and going into this like brick, you know, because what's coming against you is so ferocious, it's so violent. But I just relaxed every piece of it. Every piece that I could feel of my body. I started to not feel my legs, but I could feel my hands and I relaxed them and I could feel my heart and I relaxed it. And so for 2 hours I did that and literally
more than a workout, like a P90X.
It was more than a workout. Like the next day my face hurt so bad because of how hard I had to struggle to keep it not from tensing up. It hurt. It literally hurt. But for 2 hours I did that and I clung on to God and his peace. And you know what? I didn't go on. I didn't spin.
Wow.
I did not spin. I hovered there in this weird place, but I did not spin. I did not throw up.
Yes, I just got goosebumps.
And it was incredible. And when it passed, I was like, I defeated Goliath. I defeated the giant. I felt like it. And I said to Charlie the next morning, I said, honey, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I feel like you need to give me 1,000 standing ovations right now because – because I didn't have those things, they weren't there. And so I didn't have the rescue meds. And so I had to tap into something that was even deeper. But well, you know what it did? I'm here to tell you, I'm not saying I haven't been like, I haven't been perfect since then, but I felt it come on me so many times and my body doesn't even know how to go there. I changed the neural pathway.
Wow.
So I still have every symptom of this Meniere's thing. I still have the misalignment. I still have the roaring in my ears, but I feel these waves, these things come upon me. Whereas before I would literally drop to the ground and be like prostrate. Now the neural pathways are like, I know how to just settle my heart. I know how to just like take on his peace. And I haven't had an attack since.
Wow. Really?
I have not.
How long has it been?
Well, that was like over 2 weeks ago.
Oh. And you know what's so interesting? Like some people can change the neural pathway like in a process over years, you know, just with the regular little small things in life, you know, but it was like boot camp. You would thrown into the icy waters of Norway.
Yes, it was.
You
know?
So you changed your neurons in a night.
Not to say that I'm not practicing that every day, right? Because now I'm getting better at it. Like, you know, even this morning I started feeling woozy. I had this roaring in my ear. Like it's still there, but I know that I'm going to get rid of that because I'm going to go to the upper cervical chiropractor and I'm going to do all the things, right? And I'm so excited about it. But I'm practicing it more every day. I feel like I'm getting better at it because I'm reading. So I got home and there was this book that I bought months ago that I hadn't opened. It's called Rock Steady. It was for people that experience vertigo, tinnitus, Meniere's disease. This woman, and I didn't even realize, was basically a Meniere's patient herself. She's an audiologist. That means she's an expert in ears and she's trained in it all. But no one could help her. Until she started learning neuroplasticity, which is what we sort of talk about when we talk about, you know, the rewiring of our brain, putting off the old thoughts, putting on the new. But she does it in a completely scientific way. And she talked about how she's completely free of it all now, but it was a very long process for her. But she said, she explained neural pathways. And she said, we have so many in our body, but most of them are already trained by about the age of 7 to 8 in the way we respond to things. Wow. Now, as we go through teenage years and adulthood, we do get more, but the majority of our neural pathways fire off in a way that will continue in the same way for the rest of our lives. It's very interesting, isn't it?
Very.
We react in the same way. It might look different as an adult, might look different as a teenager, but those 7 to 8 year old ones, they've already decided who will be. Now, they're
the
already there.
To decide things.
Yeah, they're
life,
already there.
Yeah.
But she said, we have so many neural pathways that are waiting, always, no matter how old you are, neural pathways are waiting in the body and they're unused. They're untapped. And once you can get them triggered, learn to use them, create them, they can override the other ones.
Wow.
And so what I've been learning to do even every single day, and she has this thing, and I think this is going to help a lot of you with not necessarily what I'm going through, but with so many things that have symptoms and things like that. She said with Meniere's disease and dizziness or anything that you have, we're always trying to get out of the symptoms, like symptom check. Oh, it's roaring. Okay, that's bad. What does that mean? Does that mean later on I'm going to have a dizzy attack? Does that mean it's going to increase? She's like, we've got to try and stop getting away from the symptoms, but rather override them with what is good and great in our bodies. Because you see, when you're always in the constant checking on things and always in the, is the symptom there? Is it not? How well am I today? How good is it? It actually puts the limbic system into this chronic stress state. So those pathways, it just gets stronger and stronger. Even if you think, oh, it's better today, it's still a pathway that's being exercised, right? So rather than symptoms, she said, just think about it right now. Lay on your back and do this exercise. Do you love being inside your body? Can you relax inside this body? Like, who cares if you're experiencing symptoms right now? And she said, do you love it? And I thought to myself, I really do love being inside my body. I love it. So she said, what is strong in your body? What is strong? I thought to myself, I know what's strong in my body, because when I stand up, a lot of times I feel giddy, so I don't feel strong, right? My head doesn't feel strong and my neck feels wobbly and my eyes get all blurry from this dizziness. But she said, aside from that, don't even worry about that. What feels strong? And I thought to myself, I know what feels strong. All the back chain of my muscles in my legs, because I've worked them out with Workins all these years, I've been faithful. They feel so strong. I know they're strong, right? I'm so glad I did that. I'm like, oh my goodness, I have a strong part. So she's like, now concentrate on that strong part and just think about it, how blessed you are because of that. So maybe it's not you, maybe it's not workins, but even if you experience symptoms, what is in your body or what body part do you just love that carries you through life? Or just
and maybe
think
it's
about
you can't even see, but it's spiritual, it's emotional.
Exactly. Just think about it and feel it. And whenever you want to go and do the other thing, like check for your symptoms, actually think about your strong part. Think about what's great about you. Think about how blessed you are. You know, think about these other things. And I was thinking again, just what the Bible says. It says, think about the good and lovely things.
Yeah.
Think about what you're blessed with.
Whatever's noble and pure
and this is,
and lovely.
And then this is science, you know, backing it up. But it was in a way that I could understand it. So that night, after I'd read this is a whole, you know, new night. I was kind of feeling dizzy as I was going to sleep and I thought, oh no, I hope I don't wake up dizzy, but then I can work through it and I'll put his piece on and I can do that. But then I thought, no, now whenever you wake up to go to the bathroom at night, Pearl, if you do, you're going to get up on those strong legs that hey, you've done workings for months and years and they are going to take you without dizziness to the bathroom and back to your bed and you're going to do it like a champ. And so now whenever, you know, these dizziness comes upon me, I straight away think, oh, my core is strong. I worked out my core. My legs are so strong. So I get up and these strong legs just take me places and they take me back places and they direct me and I feel so strong. I know this might sound woo-woo, but my strong legs have overtaken my dizzy head. Wow. And the fact that I can go anywhere and do anything because they're so strong.
That's so cool.
And it's really weird. The neural pathways of my very strong legs have just changed my life, even though this whole thing might not be, I haven't walked all the way through and out of it yet. Mm-hmm. I'm walking with joy and victory in it. And it's so incredible. So I want to say to you guys, if you're in a season where you're going through something that might be very hard, and maybe it's an illness, or maybe you have all these symptoms, there is so a way to walk through it, focusing on the good too. And I think when you get into this state where you're relaxed and where you're focusing on the good in your body, it helps you heal. Mm-hmm. Because if you're focusing on what's wrong, you can't heal. It's impossible because you're in this state.
And this can
also
be mental sickness
absolutely.
Too, people with depression, anxiety.
Yes. Because you can't heal when you're in this flight or flight state of the stress. And the stress is, you know, the symptom focus. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to say, well, they're not gone yet, you know, but they're there. Okay, but concentrate on this other. Mm. And then those symptoms, and the author of this book, Rock Steady, she walked out of them over years as she just learned to develop all this, you know, dwelling on the good. Mm. And it so matches up with the Bible. I'm just so excited for my future. And I'm going to kind of always keep you guys caught up on what I'm learning and what I'm going through. I'm just going to be really honest about my journey with this whole Meniere's thing. And I hopefully it's kind of going to help you guys.
Well, I just want to do a standing ovation.
Oh, no, you don't have to. No. No, I didn't need that.
Oh, I'm so inspired. I mean, that's the second time I've heard that story because Pearl called me up on the phone when she got home from the golf trip. And I was like in tears as she told me. And then it was just as wonderful hearing it the second time because it's a life-changing story, not only for your life, it's life-changing for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, if she can do it, I can do it. And whatever may come my way, you know?
Yeah, it's life-changing. I'm not saying anything's wrong with rescue meds either because if I'd had them, I would have used them, honestly. But because I didn't, I had to tap into something so deep.
Yeah, but it's what I told you on the phone too. And this may seem woo-woo too, but I'm just going to say it. When have I been politically correct? But, you know, that's why, you know, in Africa, they don't have all of the great hospitalization and everything, but there's a lot of people being raised from the dead.
There's a lot of miracles
and more people getting out of wheelchairs and stuff because, you know, they have to tap in because there's no other plan B.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, well, we're definitely not getting rescued by anyone. Yeah. So, like, what are we going to do now?
Right.
Like, we can just die.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I always wonder, like, what we're capable of. Like, even in my own personal stuff, like, what... You know, because I've been attacking my ADD lately and really trying to really owning some of the handicaps that it brings, you know, some of the just daily things that I might call lack of motivation, but actually there's not a neuron to fire. You know, it's not that I'm being lazy. It's, you know, it was actually easier to deal with laziness and shame myself for being lazy than it was to admit that I have a classic neurological deficit.
Right. Can I get you on the counseling couch for 1 second?
You get it.
Just Dan. I just say, like I don't reckon it's yours.
Yeah.
Because you know how you're saying your ADD,
I'm listening.
Whatever it's called. I just don't think it's yours. And I know what you're saying. I'm sure you're saying owning it, meaning realizing so that you know you've got something to walk out of. I agree with that. But you know what I mean? It's not yours to realize, like, so that you label yourself with it.
Eh? It's not mine to take ownership over.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So own that there's a challenge.
There you go.
I like that better. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So good.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Yeah, so owning that there is this challenge, this propensity that others may not have.
That's true, because we all come with our challenges and our things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I've been doing, of course, natural things, trying natural supplements, guinea pigging on myself. And it's just got me in this state of this, like, this what if state.
Yeah.
Like what are we capable of? What could we do? What will we wish we would have tried perhaps in our 80s or in our 90s, having never come to realization, you know? And yeah, I just love what you shared, because it's such an example of, like, hey, there's no hope here to go get something and fix this tonight. You know, I have to walk in this right now, and let's try this whole channeling the mind thing. You know,
it's so powerful. I never knew how. I talked about it, and I had experienced some of it and done some of it. I walked out of other things, but it was so intense, and the mind. And the mind, and taking on the mind of Christ.
Yeah. Like, and that bingo, because I feel like when you shared your story, you were like, Serene, I mean, it was hard work for me. It was hard work. But I tell you what, it was a gift too. I knew it wasn't me alone in
that situation. No. Yeah.
Like I was being trained by the best.
Yeah, you know, was.
The mind of Christ.
Because we're all, and the next morning I was just like praising. This is like TMI, but I was just, I always talk about the bathroom, I was sitting peeing on the bathroom, right? And I was just in the best mood in the world because I'd got through this, you know? And this scripture came to my mind. I was just, oh God, you're so good. Thank you. You know that scripture, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His words gave me the light on how to get through that night. Mm-hmm. Without the words of Christ going through my head and me meditating on them so strongly, I wouldn't have had the light. I wouldn't have been able to feel my feet. I wouldn't have been able to know where they were. And it guided me in through it, through the darkness, through that valley of the shadow of death, I would call it. And I was able to fear no evil because he was with me and his words were with me. And it was a light, and it brought me through it. And it was a gift, Serene. It was a gift.
And I love you were saying, Pearl, you know, so many people, you know, even when they come and meet us at different places, they'll be like, hey, write your favorite scripture on my book, right? You know, things like that. And sometimes you go blank.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Totally go blank, and I feel like the worst heathen in the world. You know, I'm like, I don't know any scriptures. I'm a heathen.
No, but like I read the Bible. I know Pearl does every day. But you know, sometimes it's hard to bring them to mind just any old way. But she was saying how when she was walking through the valley, you know, that was the gift too.
They
were pouring into her mind, like they were being read on the teleprompter.
I feel like a lot of, and with Meniere's thing too, I don't want to put everything on it, but they say that it gives so much brain fog because the neurons are struggling so hard to line up. You get brain fog and memory issues. And I thought, oh my goodness, yeah, I kind of had a bit of that. But through that 2-hour journey when I was just practicing his peace, every scripture I ever learned about his peace poured into my head. It was a gift. They came just churning in. I was like, oh God, you're so good. I can't even usually remember these. And there they were to just uphold me.
And do you know what? I've never been so happy sitting in here. Like I see you, like your eyes are tearing up, but it's like tears of joy, right?
Yeah.
And I just want to say another thing that's blessed me about this whole thing is it's like that struggle you went through with the Graves' disease and that you know, went on that site and it's like, what has Graves stolen from you? And all these people, Graves has stolen my marriage, Graves has stolen my relationship, Graves has stolen my job, Graves has stolen all the things. And you shut the book and said, Graves isn't going to steal a thing. Shut your MacBook.
Yeah.
And said, Graves isn't going to steal a thing from me. Mm. But like, we're talking about a subject that some people commit suicide over, okay? Mm-hmm. And you're sitting here and this is one of the most happiest parties. I feel like it's a joyful party. I feel like it's one of the most positive parties we've had in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows you, even though you can walk through struggles in life, you can turn them around and they can be positive. They can bless not only yourself, but people around you because you're blessed with strength. You're stronger than you were before this.
I am stronger.
And I'm stronger hearing your testimony.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel blessed. I feel blessed to have even gone through the jolly thing and to be walking through it. I do.
Can I say one thing too? It's just a little add on. You know, you're walking right out of this, and that's what we're all about. You know, we don't stay in our issues. Danny's not going to stay in his ADD. And we also want to say here, we're not people that just put our head in the sand. We're not going to concentrate on it. We're going to walk out. Because when you have not ownership of the problem, but ownership that, hey, this is a fact in my life, that's when you get proactive. Proactive with peace, you know, spiritual things, but proactive and practical ways of walking through too. But when you said, hey, my head is weak and dizzy, but I'm not going to focus on that. I'm focusing on my strong legs.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to fully walk out of it. But just think of people, you know, that are blind. What happens? Their other stronger parts get more massively strong than they've ever done in their life. Like their ears, like blind people can pick up anything, like a pin drop. And then you have the deaf people that, you know, they can tell every conversation that's happening in the room, you know, if they can see the corner of their lips, you know. Yes. Because it's like the detail that they can pick up with their sight is so much, it's become so much more perceptively strong.
Yeah.
And so if you are weak in an area, you can know that there's another part of your body that's getting way stronger.
Absolutely.
Well, I almost passed out on a plane the other day.
Did you? Why?
I don't know. I think it was a lack of food or something.
Oh, so it wasn't fear or anything?
No. No, in fact, the plane had landed.
Oh.
And we were waiting to take off to the next destination. And I went to the bathroom and came back and everything went red and I started tasting blood.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I felt like, you know what G-force is, right?
Yeah.
Like plane takes a sharp curve upwards and you feel the pressure down.
Did you watch Top Gun?
It felt like...
Top Gun was such a great...
It felt like I was going Mach 10.2 and this G-force was just pulling me into the ground. And I was...
Oh.
My tongue was swelling up. Mouth totally went dry. Almost couldn't breathe. I was sticking my tongue out to breathe.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's people next to me on the plane. We haven't taken off yet. They're just sitting there. Yeah. And I'm doing my best to not let them know because I don't want to have a situation on the runway to preventing this plane from taking off.
When you're on the plane, it's always situation.
Situation.
Yeah, situation.
That's I'm having this situation. And as I'm peeking and thinking, this is how you die.
Yeah.
Here we go. And I was starting to see color swirls.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
The classics when I'm about to die. And
classics.
The plane, as it's starting to get more intense, the engine is like kicking in. We're about to take off. And I'm like, as soon as we take off, I'm dead. The takeoff will kill me. I can't take another force on my body.
Wow.
And then it subsided. And this was after we were in the air for like 20 minutes. It subsides. It was still there. But I just put my headphones on and like closed my eyes. And the whole time I had sunglasses on, my hat down low.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just deep breathing.
Yes.
And like hoping nobody would pay attention to me.
Yeah. So you calmed yourself through it.
I started getting really calm. And I made peace with death. That's how I got the calmness. Wow. As I went, you can die. It's fine. It's literally what I said.
I'm so glad you shared that story though, Dan, because it reminded me, and you said Top Gun and it's bringing all the synapses together, because on that phone call when you called me and told me about that whole experience, Pearl, I was like, just so reminds me of that awesome Top Gun movie where, you know, they had gone through all of that incredible, like, impossible situation. It's already impossible what they did. The last feat where they're absolutely exhausted mentally and
they're in the planes, you mean?
They're in the planes and they've got to pull up and to go over that last mount, that sheer rock, snowy mountain. And it's like 10 billion camels of weight upon them. And under normal circumstances, medical circumstances, any normal person would black out. You go out of consciousness. So they had to hold on outside of physical strength, but with a mental tenacity, like mm-hmm. one of those Navy SEALs people that hold on seven times longer than is humanly possible.
Yeah.
You know, they get into a different state.
They force their blood.
They force
into
it.
Their head.
And
yeah.
so, you know, if you've, anyone who's watched it, you see them concentrating beyond concentration. I am not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to let my body do what it wants to do,
yeah.
what is medically factual to do,
yes.
what is going to be natural, I will not go there. And I was like, Pearl, you did that. You were as good as like whatever his name was, Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Tom, whatever his name, Tom who?
Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Hanks.
Still in the 90s. Still in the 90s. You're like, well, what's his name? Forrest Gump. Remember Forrest over the mountainside? G-forces.
Yes. And that was the first Tom movie, whatever that Top Gun movie. I hadn't seen the rest, but it blessed my soul.
Oh,
the
you
first
haven't
one.
Seen the original.
No, you haven't that, seen
no,
the
this
original.
Latest one was good, man.
No, but that was a spine-tingling moment. I yeah. Before I even heard your story, I told myself, see what they're doing? You can do that in any situation, Serene. Like, if they can do it, why can't you?
I do love Tom Cruise's movies a lot, because even his Mission Impossible, because, you know, I know he's a Christian scientist, whatever he is, but they've taken the science, isolated the rest of the Bible.
Scientologists.
But guess where they took it? They even say they take the science out of the Bible, right? You know, they might throw the rest aside, but doesn't negate the truth of what they got. They got a truth in there.
They don't have the full truth or the truth that saves them, but the truth is that positivity
yeah.
and can-do blesses your life.
That's what their religion is.
And it showed in the box offices that people still want a positive movie when, yeah. when no one dies, like the people in the mission, they all came yeah. back alive.
I know, I love
you know,
that.
It was like, you all make it, you all live. Yeah. Wonderful things happen.
Happy ending.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, we're done, eh? 45?
Yeah, speaking of happy ending, peace. Then I'll be
true nothing, mama, to stay. Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.